today on Real Life Radio.
It's good for you to be busy, as it were, as Christians, about our Father's business. What you and I don't often realize is that our Father's business is often sending you and I to work, to the job place. Man was created to be a doer.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Are you looking for a deeper understanding of the Bible? Well, our current featured resource might be a pretty good next step for you. It's called With the Word, the Chapter-by-Chapter Bible Handbook. It's written by Warren Wiersbe, and what sets this Bible handbook apart from the others is its accessible format. And rather than overwhelming you with dense theological analysis, it presents each chapter in a clear and concise manner. It's a great book. You not only learn the spiritual significance of the text with valuable historical and cultural background, but you'll learn ways to apply it to your life. Wiersbe is well known for striking a balance between academic study and devotional warmth, so you can really relate to it on a personal level as well as an intellectual one. With the Word, the Chapter-by-Chapter Bible Handbook, written by Warren Wiersbe, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Real Life. It's available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Get your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series now called Life and Bible. Today's message is called Being a Christian at Your Job. God's Word indeed holds the answers to wisdom and understanding, but at some point, we need to put what we learned into action. You see, here in the book of Colossians, Paul challenges the church to not only increase their knowledge of God, but to be fruitful in every good work. When applied to real-life circumstances, this means our relationships, both personal and work-related, really need to thrive. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that Christians are to have a strong biblical work ethic. It's why we're to embrace a lifestyle that emulates Christ and His teachings wherever we might be. Now with his message called Being a Christian at Your Job, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You bless now the going forth of your word to our hearts. And Lord, we invite you to examine our lives as Christians, to form, mold, shape us into the people of God that we need to be in these last days. Lord, let us not be swayed or polluted by political correctness or some threat, Lord, that would come to us in some apathetic way or some apologetic way that we should tiptoe around as Christians and not let our voice be heard. Lord, like never before, we need to stand up and know what we believe and proclaim what we believe. Lord, there are a lot of voices out there and a lot of lunacy, a lot of crazy things. Like never before, we need to stand up boldly, filled with your Holy Spirit, to declare the truth. So, Father, we ask that you'd bless these series of Wednesday nights together. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. Go to Matthew and turn right, and you'll come eventually to Colossians and turn to the first chapter. And we are looking at a series entitled Being a Christian, or really, technically, it's going to be called Life and Bible Series. The Life and Bible Series tonight, we're looking at being a Christian at your job. And we're going to have a lot of fun these next few weeks. But tonight we're going to start out with being a Christian at your job and what that means. And it's going to be part of the Life and the Bible series, being a Christian at your job tonight. And we're going to be looking at, in these series, some things that I hope will really challenge you and I regarding our Christian walk and how we ought to be living. Colossians chapter 1. This will be our theme verse for the entire series. It's an awesome passage. Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And there, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." What an awesome prayer. in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Is Paul not an amazing communicator? I mean, what that guy just said just then in a prayer is extremely heavy and exactly what we need. All these things that he prays right there for the church at Colossae, I'm praying, been praying for you and I. This has been my prayer for you. Way back when we were a home fellowship, a home Bible study out of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, we had t-shirts made up with that scripture verse on the back of them. And I pray that today, I pray that tonight, that that prayer would be something that governs our lives, not only in this series, but really forevermore. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at a challenging thing about real Christianity and what it means. And I hope we have some fun together. But tonight, we're going to be looking, as I mentioned, life in the Bible, being a Christian at your job. And then the second week, we're going to look at life in the Bible, being a Christian in your relationships. We're going to be looking at that one in the light of finding a husband and finding a wife. How do you look? What do you look for? Finances in that particular lesson. What about them? We're going to be looking at self-control and servanthood and how our time and resources are spent as perhaps a single person, our relationships. And then we're going to be looking at being a Christian at home, and that's something that we're going to be talking about, getting married and being married. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about raising kids. I think it's going to be some fun. We're going to talk about how to respect him as your husband or how to love her as your wife. We're going to talk about sex and a whole lot more. And I don't know how much time we'll have for the sex topic, so I'll warn you in advance as we get to that week of you're going to want to make sure your kids are in their class over here next door rather than the main sanctuary. But it's going to be a tremendous time. And I'm sure that particular study, the place will be packed for that topic. But tonight we're going to be kicking it off with what it means to be a Christian at the workplace and that our faith and how that plays in to our life as believers. And so I'm going to ask you to take a lot of notes. We've got a lot of verses. I'm going to ask you to write these things down. And I hope that it activates you. First of all, as a Christian, we serve a very personal God. I love that. He is not a God that is somehow removed and somehow distant. He's not the God of, for example, the agnostic. You know, the agnostic is an interesting person. An agnostic is not an atheist. An atheist wishes and dreams and tries to convince themselves that there is no God. And they're very worried, by the way. I've never seen an atheist that's filled with peace. Because no matter how good their day goes, they're still concerned by the end of the day that what if God's real? What if God is true? Atheists are funny, and they're atheists for as long as it's convenient. But when really, really things go bad, atheists seem to get religion real quick. But then there's the agnostic. And the agnostic, that's an interesting word, agnostic, because it comes from the word ignoramus. Did you know that? Ignoramus. I'm not making that up. Look it up. It's true. It means this, that there is probably a God, but he cannot be known. Thus, you are ignorant or an ignoramus, or you're an agnostic. An agnostic would say, yeah, I think there's a God out there, but I've concluded he can't be known. Well, what kind of a God would that be if he's out there somewhere and he can't be known? Not much of a God. I was watching an awesome DVD this week about the NASA moon program. And one of the guys, one of the astronauts of the NASA program, the Apollo program, left Earth as a non-believer. And he got up into space, and the space capsule turned around, the Apollo capsule turned around, and he saw the Earth, and he said, there's no way that's an accident. And when he got back to earth, he started going to Bible studies. And on the DVD, and it's not a Christian DVD, he says, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. When he got all the way out in space, turned around and went, wow! He left a non-believer and then saw evidence and became a believer. We tonight proclaim that we're Christians. Our God is a personal God. If we're Christians and our God is a personal God and he's made all that there is, how much are we letting him govern our lives? Are we really letting him be the Lord of our life? If that's true, it's going to be evident in this thing that we call our jobs or our workplace. Number one, jot it down tonight. Being a Christian at your job means a few things. Number one, at work and your faith. How do I go to work and be a Christian? How do I go to my workplace and be a believer? How do I go to my workplace and exercise my faith? Understand this, that first of all, work, our jobs, is a necessity. Did you know that? You say, man, I've been trying to get out of my job. No, your job is a necessity given to you by God. By the way, listen, it's a proven fact that work, just the aspect of work itself. Now, we're not getting in yet to where you work and what you do, but just the aspect of work, just the concept of work is good for our sanity. Did you know that? It's good for you. You don't sound very convinced about that right now. It's actually good for you. It's good for you to be busy, as it were, as Christians, about our Father's business. What you and I don't often realize is that our Father's business is often sending you and I to work, to the job place. Man was created to be a doer. We love to do things. A woman might make a project, or she might, and this is amazing to me. Yeah, you know what? She might knit something and produce something in a few hours. That's one thing. A man might go to a job or have his career. That's one thing. To me, personally, because I've watched it happen, the most amazing job that I've ever seen done is when a woman gives birth to a baby and raises that baby up and then grows them up and then turns them loose into the society and they become viable, strong citizens in the world. That's amazing to me because I don't know about you, but I want to have a report card as to how I'm doing. Mothers are amazing people because they don't get a report card for years. Think about it. And even then, some, you know, you don't know what kind of grade the kid's getting, you know. But it's an amazing thing. But God made mankind as doers. We have a great sense of satisfaction when we can see what's gone on with our own hands. By the way, God himself is a doer, isn't he? And so as we think about jobs and think about what God does, listen, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Listen, there is a great holy thing for you and I to be employed at our work, at our jobs, and be doing things. Tonight, maybe you're retired. That doesn't mean you just sit around and watch Oprah. God help you. Just because you're retired means now you have more time for God. Now you have more time to serve. Now you have more time to be a doer. Work is a necessity. Going to our job is a good thing. It's not a curse. God's blessed us. And it's a great, listen, it is the great, great proving ground for ministry in our lives. So many people get this thing in their minds that they're not going to work. They're going to go in the ministry. I just got out of high school, or maybe I just got out of college, and I think I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to go in the ministry. Wait a minute. I think personally that you should be much at your job before ever you go into the ministry. Some people look at ministry as a way of an out to stay away from having to work. Little do they know.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
God made us doers. In fact, Paul the Apostle himself seem to have a tent-making business on the side, which brought his income in, allowing him to preach the gospel. Keep that in mind. It's very important that we understand that our workplace is a place where we are to exercise our faith. The Christian has been sent out into this world, and I want to ask you, it's not that you occupy some pulpit somewhere or you go to some mission field, and only then do you think that you're fulfilling Matthew 28, where Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. There is more gospel preaching taking place in the workforce and in the company or out on the construction sites than maybe any other place in the world. Oh, but Pastor, I want to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's right, go do it. And that means working for IBM or working for this place or that place. And I want to encourage you that we as Christians are to be a people engaged in our work. And tomorrow, when we go to our jobs, we are to take Christ there. And this is what that looks like. Mark it down. It looks like this. We are to be, as Christians, if we're going to live out our faith in the workplace, you guys, we need to establish a biblical work ethic. This is important. Our modern culture has lost its work ethic, and I don't know personally, I kind of sound pessimistic, I don't know if the good old U.S. of A., the old time, where the sticker or the stamp made in the USA meant something. When I was a little kid, it meant something for a product to be made in America. Not anymore. I hope that turns around. Frankly, I don't think it will, unless this culture embraces a biblical work ethic. And it's interesting to me that the Bible sets the highest standard for performance in any culture regarding men's instruction, education, and advancement. It's the Bible. What a biblical work ethic is, honestly, it's what created the most productive, illuminated, passionate cultures in the world. Wherever the gospel, the Judeo-Christian Bible, goes in the world, it creates an awesome ethic. The Bible's very clear about that. Value of life, individual rights, the love for fellow man, equality, the knowledge of the Lord. The Judeo-Christian influence is the most advancing faith that the world has ever seen. And I challenge you, those of you who know history, go look at the nations of the world and put up a scale, as it were, and match where Judeo-Christian biblical ethics went into a culture. What happened to that culture versus any other religion that's out there today? Look and see what happens. It's very important. So as a believer, you and I need to go to our workplace tomorrow with this in mind, that I am going to go to my job with a biblical work ethic. What does that look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. By the way, I'm curious, are there any business, either managers or business owners in here tonight? Raise your hands. You're going to maybe want to get this teaching and give it to your workers and say, this is what we ought to be doing. And here's the verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. In other words, be conscious of the fact that whatever you do, that there's people watching. And whatever you do, you're doing it for God and not for man. How many of you are employed right now in some way, shape, or form? Raise your hands. Tomorrow, when you go to your job or whenever you go back to your job, you are to do it to the glory of God. And that is between you and your God. You're not doing it for her, or you're not doing it for him. You're not doing it necessarily for the bottom line of the company. Do all those things benefit? Yes. But as a Christian, I march to a greater standard. It's not even a promotion. I don't do these things. Listen, the world where I worked for so long, and you are probably working now, the world, have you noticed in a secular company how, at least in a corporation I worked for, very high-end corporation, global group, everybody's very kind to each other. I worked there 13 years, very kind to each other. Everybody was very kind to each other. And by the way, the company I worked for, if you cussed, you were written up. It was not even a Christian company. You had to sign what's called a fiduciary agreement that even on your off hours, you would stand for what is best for the company, and that, listen, that you would present your body and your mind on Monday morning ready to go to work. The corporation I worked for, you signed that. Very interesting. The world seems to get along better in their gathering, and they seem to be cordial, and they seem to make things work, but what's the goal? The goal is this, isn't it? The goal is the promotion. The goal is upward and onward, right? For the Christian, it's sad, but Christians seem to sometimes go to work like, oh, ho-hum, whatever. Maybe the rapture happened tonight, and then I won't have to worry about going to work. We can't be like that. We are to be Christians, and the Christian is to have the greatest work ethic you've ever seen. If we're going to be real Christians, because we're doing it for the Lord. Also this, secondly, it's this. At work and your faith means that we are to be translating a godly example to everybody we come in contact with. Every Monday morning, listen to this, the Lord gives you and I a pulpit to live out what we learned on Sunday. Think about it. Why do you come on Sunday? You're to come on Sunday to get your batteries charged up, to go out Monday into the world to make a difference. The world is your pulpit. Your job is your pulpit. Oh man, you know what? I can't stand my job. I hate it. Listen, probably everybody who works with you knows you hate your job too, but you're saying, no, I just want to be in the ministry someday. Ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. God will not promote that. You need to work yours. If you want to be in the ministry or if you want to have the next position up on the ladder at your company or wherever you're at, you need to work yourself out of the position you're in right now. And you know how you do that? The principle is the same. That's why there's a lot of Christian authors whose books have become bestsellers in the secular world regarding business management and motivation. You want to know why? It's biblical principles that make the greatest employees, managers, and leaders in the world. God's word is true. Be a godly example, and by being that, it translates to other people. Very important. Genesis 39:21. The Bible says, for the Lord was with Joseph. That's an amazing thing. Are you a Christian tonight?
Yep.
Do you have a job?
Yep.
Are you unemployed and you're looking for a job?
Yep.
God is with you. You can't say that you're a Christian and God is not with you. We need to act in faith. I am a Christian. I'm going to my workplace tomorrow. And as the Lord was with Joseph, so the Lord will be with me. And you need to believe that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Being a Christian at Your Job. Thanks for spending time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in everyday challenges of life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So here we are at this time of the year, and it's a very critical year on all fronts. We see a nation that is probably actually unofficially, but officially at war. We've got nations that are really tearing each other apart. And internally, all nations in this world right now, it's not just America. All nations seem to be coming apart from the inside out. It's overwhelming until you stop and realize, wait a minute, wait, God had me be born and be alive for such a time as this. Paul the Apostle put it this way, none of these things move me. Friend, let that be your statement as well. Let none of these things move you, because greater is he, the Lord, that is in you, than he, that is the works of Satan, that are in this world. So in light of that, let's do this. Let's pray. So Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we pray to you, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, God, that you'd give us that peace that passes all understanding, while at the same time, our eyes are wide open to the reality of what's going on in the world around us. Lord, let us not be intimidated. Don't allow us, Lord, to be somehow frightened that we would take the light of the gospel that is in us and hide it under a basket or a bushel. Nope, Lord, cause us to stand strong.
And as we pray as a family, and as you use the Real Life Network more and more, God, we are blown away with how many doors you've opened up to us to reach members of Congress and to reach people who are in other countries and to reach the man on the streets. So Lord, keep us usable. May we not fail. Don't let us get our eyes off of you. Hang on to us, Lord, because we cannot hang on to you enough. In your grip, may we abide. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.